Blog Talk Radio.
I got a new walk and a new point of view, a new purpose for everything I do. I got a new.
Welcome, welcome. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Totally Whole Presents. I am your host, Pastor Bridget. I am so excited about our show tonight and what we will be discussing. I want to give a special shout out to Pastor Dr. Rosemary Cook again for gracing me with this opportunity to come and to share with you, the listening audience. And for those of you who have tuned in tonight, I'm encouraging you to go in to go and find someone that you can invite, text them, Facebook them, email them, whatever means you can use to invite someone to come on and to hear tonight's discussion as we share on this evening, taking the courageous walk and dealing with spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare, I think it is so important that we have this conversation, and especially as those who are walking with the Lord, that we indeed arm ourselves and get as informed as we possibly can get about spiritual warfare and what that is and how to deal with it. And so I'm excited about my special guest, and I will be introducing her in a little bit. So just wanted to kind of get you, familiar with what we're going to talk about on tonight. I normally start off with a question, and so the question tonight I want to throw out as we dive into the discussion about spiritual warfare is, what do you know about spiritual warfare? What do you know about spiritual warfare? And let me say this, as it is written in the description for tonight's show, spiritual warfare is not, first of all, for the faint at heart. It is something that we all have to journey through at some point or another. One of the challenging things about spiritual warfare is learning how to navigate through its rough terrain. And so I'm so glad tonight that we have an expert, an anointed woman of God who will help us on tonight and give us some powerful tools and insight on how to do that. But I want to read a scripture to kind of set the tone for tonight's discussion. Brother Paul did not leave us without some information and some insight and sharing with us what the fight is really all about, what it's all about. As a matter of fact, he writes in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, I'm just going to read about 3 verses, starting at verse 10, when dealing with spiritual warfare and what that's all about. He starts off, he says, I'm reading from the Life Application Study Bible, that is. And so that is the NLT translation. So it starts off by saying a final word. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his ministry power. Put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies. So he's real clear. He wants us to be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Remember, I said that spiritual warfare is not what for the faint at heart, right? And so he goes on to say, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. So that's why we can't use natural resources to attack something that is supernatural and spiritual. He said, but we are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits and the heavenly places. Okay, so that the battle is there. The battle is there. As a matter of fact, the gospel tells us that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. So there is a warfare that goes on in the heavenly places, in the heavenly realm, in the heavenly realm. And I want to say this also, just to make some things real clear as we discuss what we're going to talk about tonight about spiritual warfare. I think it's important, too, that we understand that there are some things that you go through in life may not necessarily be spiritual warfare in nature. It may just be a part of life, the life circle, life cycle, which you may be experiencing. And so that's why it's very important that we're able to decipher and to determine if what we're dealing with, if it's spiritual in nature in terms of the attack, or if it's just a part of the cycle. The other thing I want to say is that some things that we go through in life, sometimes we bring it upon ourselves based on words that we have spoken into the atmosphere, based on habits and practices that we have participated in, that we bring some things and repercussions upon ourselves based on our own behavior. So we have to deal with some of those things that is a part of, that's connected to behavior, and things that we speak out of our mouths. And then some things happens to us that we didn't start, we had nothing to do with. It happens in some cases for the mere fact that we love the Lord and that we love God. And when we look at Job's life, we find that to be the case, because the scripture says that Job was a devout man. And so we know that he loved God, and he was committed to his faith, and the enemy decided to attack him. That's spiritual warfare at its best right there. And so we have those kinds of things in terms of attacks as it relates to the cause and the effect of being in warfare and dealing with battle and having things come up against us. And so we need to be very clear when we're dealing with that, because I believe if we are real clear, then we know how to then deal with the situation and deal with the enemy and know how to fight So, you know, just kind of want to set the tone as we prepare our hearts and minds. And I want to say to you, those of you who are listening in on tonight's show, to be open-minded and to allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you as we share in this discussion. And also, when it's time for those you know, those of you who would like to share and have your say or ask questions when the lines are open, please feel free to call into the show. You may want to write your question down, because trust me, when you hear from this woman of God, you will want to perhaps engage and to share and perhaps to ask her some questions, because you do have an expert on the phone tonight. So I'm going to introduce my special guest for tonight. Her name is Reverend Sharon Clark. She is the founder and president of Ministry Without Walls International. This is an intercessory prayer ministry, and she has intercessors that are located throughout the United States as well as Jamaica. She is a native of Jamaica. Amen. She is a native of Jamaica. She has a bachelor's degree in Christian ministry. She is an ordained minister. Amen. And This ministry that God has given her is a ministry that is indeed not locked down in the buildings and behind walls, but they go out, they do street evangelism, prayer outreach that they have conducted in Maryland, New York, and Florida, where they have hit the streets to minister to the lost, the rejected, the persecuted, and their ministry focuses on also those who are in prison, family members of martyrs, and the church underground, which we can't forget. We got to remember those who are suffering for the sake of the gospel, who are global, worldwide. They are the martyrs. And so she is also, praise God, she is an author. Her first book was Courage Under Fire, and I would encourage those of you who, if you don't have it, to get it. You can get it on Amazon.com. It is also available in the Kindle version, and she also has a audio CD entitled The Power of Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. Amen. So without further ado, let me welcome to the show tonight Reverend Sharon Clark, amen, who's going to help us journey through her new book. She has a new book, as some of you probably were able to see if you were able to, if you came on through the link, you were able to see it, and it's entitled How to Courageously Walk Through Spiritual Warfare. I like that title, How to Courageously Walk Through Spiritual Warfare, because, again, remember I said that spiritual warfare is not for the faint at heart. Well, welcome, Reverend Sharon Clark. God bless you. How are you this evening?
Oh, I am wonderful, wonderful, Pastor Bridget. Praise God, indeed. It is good to be here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is good to be here. I bless the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, I was reading through your book. When I got it, I, just like the other one, you can't just put it down. Even though I was tired as I don't know what, it was late at night, and I got to it, and I was reading some things, and some things just jumped out at me. And so we're just going to go and dive into some of the things that I did read in the book and ask you a couple of questions. One of the things I found that was quite interesting, and even, you know, to a certain degree, was kind of funny. You mentioned about your cousin, you mentioned about how she shared with you about spiritual warfare, and that you were called to do spiritual warfare. And your response was, "What is that?" And then she answered, "Better you than me." So what was going on in that moment? What was happening?
Oh, my sister, I am telling you, like many of God's people, I was really a lamb to the slaughter. I had no idea what spiritual warfare was. That was not even on my radar. I just came to America to live the American dream. Yes, bless the Lord. And so it just so happens that I was introduced to this woman who was a church goer, and so, you know, the person was doing me a favor and her a favor by saying, you know, we could share apartment together. You know, she knows that I was a quiet person. I was not a troublemaker. She knew me from back home. We weren't really friends, but she knew of me. And she thought she knew this woman, I guess, you know. And so she thought it would be a great idea for us to come together since I was quiet and she was in the church. And so I reluctantly did it, but I said, okay, fine, you know, what's to lose? I will go ahead and do it. And so we did. We went together. We shared the apartment, and then she invited me to church. And I was really looking for a church home. So I was so excited to go to church. And I went to church, and I was like a sponge. So here it is now. I just rededicated my life to the Lord. And and sharing apartment with a woman who is also a witch, which, of course, I had no clue what that was. I mean, and I really had no idea what I was in for. And so it so happens that a year afterwards, my cousin came to visit from Jamaica, and she said to me immediately, she said to me, where do you meet this woman? And I said, well, I really didn't know her that well. It's somebody that I know, you know, introduced me to her. And she said to me eventually, well, you know, when she observed the situation and she saw that I was really in danger and I had no clue of the depth of the darkness that was around me, she said to me, it seems like you are in your cause for spiritual warfare. I'm like, what's that? And I was, I didn't say it in a nice tone either, because by then I knew something was not right. And I kept saying something is not right, but I could not put my finger on it, which is quite similar to, you know, it's similar things that a lot of people are going through. They know that something is not right, but they really do not know how to call it. They don't know what to label it. They're not sure what is going on. And that's where I was. But the good thing about it, my sister, was that I loved the Lord. When I rededicated my life to the Lord in that little church, I didn't go to play church. And this is what saved my life, literally saved my life. If when I rededicated my life to the Lord, I had one foot in the church and one foot in the world, she would have literally killed me. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind. But because my heart was pure and I really loved the Lord, I couldn't get enough of Jesus. I could not get enough of Jesus. And so because of that, even though she was doing her whatever she was doing, she could not penetrate. I looked back and I said, God, I love you. I said, God, I love you. And that is why I'm so serious about my walk. I don't play with my walk. It is so dangerous. It is so dangerous for a child of God to be in the house of God and be playing with God, because you don't know how much of a target you are to the enemy. You have no clue. And when I look back, I say, Lord, I thank you. Because my cousin came, and she was the one who helped to really open my eyes, because by then she had been walking with the Lord for 20 years. And so she was familiar with spiritual warfare. I just love Jesus. I came in, I love Jesus. I have nothing else on my mind. I just love to worship. I just want more of him. But I had no teaching on warfare. I never even heard this term before. I just know that I love the Lord.
Amen. 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 And let me ask you this. You know, when you talked about you had no clue and all you knew is that you loved the Lord, since you have been walking with the Lord as closely as you have, and God has called you to this ministry, what have you discovered about most believers when it comes to spiritual warfare? Their knowledge base.
Knowledge base. I love to. It is sad. It is so sad. It is like it's a neglected teaching in the church. And what I've gathered is that a lot of people are afraid to embrace this reality. It is scriptural. Jesus cast out demons. There is we are in a spiritual battle. We serve a God who is spiritual. He's spirit and he's truth. It means that our warfare really takes place in the spirit realm before we even see it in the physical a lot of times, and most of the times, the only time, because what happened in the spiritual is causal for the physical. When we see it in the physical, it's already late. It's already late. And that is why it is so important that we do not neglect the spiritual side of our walk. It's not just about what we wear, what we see, what title we have, who looked at. No, that is so superficial. It's a spiritual walk we are in. And the enemy knows he cannot take our salvation, however, and I really believe that, however, he knows that if he can cripple us, if he can get us to think that this part of our walk is not important, then he can come in and he can inflict our children, he can create all sort of problems in our bodies, in our walk. We we have no idea what is going on at all. We are just in total oblivion, thinking, well, it's just my lot in life. Let me go through. No. The God that we serve, if we know who God is, if we truly understand the nature of God, we know that a lot of things that we are going through, please, God, that's not God's desire for us. That is not God's desire for us to be whooped and be beaten and be defeated and put 10 steps forward and 2 backward and 2 forward and 10 backward. That's not God. There's a war going on, and because we are ignorant of the enemy's devices, then we just take it as, you know, our lot in life. But no, the church needs to wake up. The church truly needs to wake up. But I understand that if what you do not know, you'll fear. But it's scriptural. It is in the Word of God, and we cannot take what we choose to believe and neglect the other part because we are afraid. If we are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we have absolutely nothing to fear. The problem is that we as the body in the body, a lot of people, a lot of Christians in the body really do not understand or know who they are. If we understood who we were and who we are in Christ, we would understand that we have absolutely nothing to run from. We're the enemy. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, truly he's afraid of us. But 1 Peter 5:8 says,
amen,
we have to be sober and be vigilant. Because the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not even a lion. He's going like one. So then he's trying to scare us. And we listen to the roar, and we get so afraid that we decide, you know what, I don't want to have anything to do with spiritual water. Oh, no, that's not for me. Oh, no, I can't. Until it is on your doorstep. When it is on your doorstep, then you start wondering, oh, there might have been something to what Sister So was saying. Oh, I heard Sister So was going through something. So maybe it was true. She really wasn't crazy. Maybe she really wasn't crazy. it is so much to it, sister. Oh, my Lord.
Yes. Because and you bring up the part about, you know, folks sometimes when they're dealing with stuff and they're going through, you know, they think that they're crazy, or they think maybe they're hallucinating, or they're just, you know, dreaming this stuff up. And you know, some folks attribute it to, go back to what you said earlier about they think it's luck. You know, I got bad luck. You know, things are not going my way. And not connecting it with, you know, the spiritual warfare that they're more than likely under and that they are going through. And it is indeed real. And when you read scripture, even from the old covenant all the way to the new covenant, you see battles going on. So it is not something, you know, new you know, something that just came about. But it has always been. It started way back, even before the Garden of Eden, with war in heaven, you know. And so spiritual warfare is indeed a reality. It's a reality. And I think a part of the problem when we talk about people fearing and being afraid and thinking it's something, you know, woo, spooky and that kind of thing, is because of ignorance. It's because, and when I say ignorance, the lack of teaching, the lack of information and being informed and not fully teaching those, you know, those of us who are in Christ, the full counsel of God. And so we have to be taught that, and I think it's so important, because I want to get to some other parts of, you know, your book that I had, you know, a couple things that I did highlight to kind of get you just to kind of expound on just a little bit, just to give the folk a little taste of it so they can be, you know, really be encouraged to go out and to support you and to get the book. Because I can promise them this much, you know, if you're dealing with something and you need some tools to help you get through it and to know how to strategically deal with spiritual wickedness in high places, God has raised people up such as yourself to be able to give us the tools and the information and to get us on the path where we can go forward in victory. Because, again, the scripture does say that we are fighting against strategies of you know, demonic activity. And so we know that that the enemy is strategic. And whenever you're dealing with forces that are greater than yourself, and you're dealing with things that you can't see in the natural, it behooves us to understand that planning has gone into it, that it just didn't happen out of a bag. Go back to Job. You know, when Job was attacked, Satan didn't just come out of a bag and bam. He strategized, and he had to go before God. You see, he had to go before God even to ask for permission to do what he was about to do. So that was something that he had come up in his mind with, that he would go forward, and he knew he had to have permission. And so the point I'm making is that, in line with Scripture, that there are strategies that are going forward against our lives and our prosperity, even our health, and the promises that God has granted us. And so, again, I know that God wants us to live a holistic life, a holistic life that is healthy and that is on the right track, so that we are better vessels to go forward and to share forth the love of God and to be his agents of change. And so when we are beaten down and we are, become punching bags for the enemy and not knowing how to fight, and when we are living defeated lives, then we can't be our best for the Lord and for the kingdom and to make impact the way we are supposed to make impact. And so spiritual warfare, when we look at the conditions and the earth today, we see it, Reverend Sharon, all around us in such, you know, profundity. We see it everywhere. Like, bam, it's hitting us in our face. And we see, I was sharing with someone, I see so much going on with oppression and possession, and mm-hmm. People are just walking around in the daze, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how to get out of the maze that they have found themselves in. How do I get out of it? And where did this stuff come from? And going back to Brother Job was living a good life, you know. He was living a good life. And so here he is, he's attacked. And again, for those who may have tuned in a little later in the show, it is important to understand that some things that we go through is some of the stuff is self-induced, and when it's self-induced, it behooves us to ask God for forgiveness and to, you know, have God to ask God to clean us up, to get on the right track, because some of our behaviors are such that we are our worst enemy, and we are fighting against ourselves, but when that spiritual warfare is there, because when you look at spiritual warfare, it always comes against you, it stands against God's will for your life. And it is there when you're dealing with spiritual warfare, because you have to be able to, I believe, discern and identify, is this spiritual warfare that I'm going up against? Is this what's happening to me? Because spiritual warfare is launched to oppose the people and the purpose of God. So if it's opposing the purpose and will of God in your life, that's spiritual warfare. When Job was attacked, it was to try to get him to do what? Curse God.
Mm-hmm.
You see, again, to go, the warfare came about for him to turn from the God that he loved and the reality of the truth of God. And that spiritual warfare right there, Reverend Sharon, you see, and so the enemy uses all types of techniques and schemes to get us to do, to succumb to that kind of attack. I love it when you said that, you talked about, the prayer aspect, because I want to get to that, but I want to ask you as I'm getting to that about ministry, the ministry that you have, a ministry without walls. How does that tie in with the spiritual aspect, you know, spiritual warfare aspect? How does that connect?
Well, you know, it's amazing, because years ago when I was going through warfare, I was in the midst of some deep, dark battles that it's chronicled in my first book, Courage Under Fire. Two things the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me, one, the title of the book, Courage Under Fire. That's almost 20 years ago, over 20 years ago at this point. And he also showed me a group of women prostrate before him, all in white. So I knew there were two things. Eventually, I realized that there were two things. As a matter of fact, originally, I went to the bookstore looking for the book entitled Courage Under Fire. There was no book at that time. I went to the bookstores I went to in Brooklyn. They had no book by that title at that time. And so it dawned on me eventually that, you know what, God wanted me to write the book. It was so clear in my spirit. Originally, I wasn't thinking me, because I wasn't thinking of being any author. I just love the Lord. I'm not thinking anything beyond just going to church and loving the Lord and being in my prayer closet. So when I realized that, I said, oh, he wanted me to write a book. And then I realized he also wanted me to have a prayer ministry. But I knew it was not that right time. What the Lord will do is he'll give us glimpses of where we are going. When the battle is very hot and it's very dark in your life, he will show you glimpses of where he's taking you, so that what he's doing is encouraging you not to give up in the battle, not to give up when it gets hot. He wants us to be encouraged that, listen, first of all, the enemy cannot do anything unless God gives permission. So he gave him permission. He gave this woman permission. There are others, but she's the main character. Permission to lose my life to the enemy. But, you know, he gave him permission to do that, but he had a purpose. He wanted to mold a prayer ministry out of me. He wanted to mold ministry. I tell people all the time, I didn't just come and just start a ministry because, you know, people are doing ministry. I know his ministry is probably the thing to do. No. The ministry is born out of prayer in my closet, prayer closet. God tried to pull me out of it because I enjoy being in prayer with God. And the reason why that is because of the hell that I went through. When I was going through spiritual warfare, my therapy, the thing that kept me was my prayer life. I knew I felt safe with God. When I go before God, I knew he was my hiding place. I recognized God as my refuge. I knew him as my strong tower. So God was molding me through the war and through the battles. And I'm still talking about battles where I would be walking and I could feel whole hosts of demons pushing me to the ground, literally pushing me to the ground. And I remember one morning I was going to work, and when I got out of the house and she was inside, and when I got out, I felt the whole host of demons pushing me to the ground. I said, I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the glory of God. I shall not die. And I keep saying it, my sister, until I felt the force just dissipated. They just went into thin air. And I said, my God. So I learned to pray through what I went through. It's because of what I went through that my prayer life was forged this way. So that is the best way. This experience is the best teacher. I have seen God move in some ways that nobody can tell me anything against God. I mean, I know him in a way that is just so surreal, because I had no friends. The church would not back me. There was nobody to come and pray in there. It was only my cousin, and she was not here all the time. She came to visit. So it was me and the Holy Spirit. So out of all that I went through, and the intense battles, I'm talking night and day, for years, I'm talking over 11 years, and by me going through that, that was how prayer was birthed out of my belly. And so this is how Ministry Without Walls came into being. Because I was at my kitchen sink in 2008, and I heard the voice of the Lord said, Ministry Without Walls. I didn't even plan the name. It wasn't even me that made up the name. I don't do that. I ask God for everything. I don't just, you know, label things and say, okay, God, let's do that. No. I said, God, what would you have? But I was just doing my dishes, regularly doing my dishes in the kitchen, and I heard Ministry Without Walls. So I knew it was time. He was ready to start this ministry. And so that's how we began 2008. And I knew that God didn't just want us to pray. He wanted to be able to bless the kingdom financially and to do outreach and not just be inside and pray and that's it. No, we need to be outside. I am an outside person. God has called me to be outside. Anywhere, you know, people are outside and they're hurting. And so I believe that is where God wants me for the most part.
Amen. And I love that, because I know one part of your book, you talk about prayer being therapeutic.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's so, you know, so true in terms of you being able to release and being able to talk. And your prayer ministry touches people throughout the globe, actually.
Yes.
And I want you to share with the listening audience some of the testimonies that has come out of Ministry Without Walls. What are some of the testimonies?
my sister, I truly believe that if we are in a prayer ministry, miracles should be a regular thing. There's something amiss if we are in prayer and nothing is happening year after year after year after year after year, because God has not changed. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And so we are blessed and we thank God. And I say it with all humility that we have seen cancer healed. We have seen people with liver cancer be healed. I mean, that is rare. We have seen babies who are given up for dead. Right now, there's a little one. He just turned one. His name is Samuel, right here in Baltimore too. And when he was born, he was less than a pound, and they didn't expect him to live. But you know, they kept giving the parents hope. But when he got healed, that was what the nurses said. They didn't expect him to live. He had so many issues, less than a pound. It was touch and go. Every day there was something else going on with this little Samuel. Every day was something else. And we thank God. Now he's 2 years old, and he's eating. Everything
Hallelujah.
Is fine. He has gained so
Hallelujah.
Much weight. But this little boy is like, he's a fighter, and we thank God for him. We have seen, I can't even talk about recent, every day, every week is something else, it seems, my sister. People
Hallelujah.
Coming out of coma. We have seen that. We have seen my nephew just got, he had a diving accident last year, April.
Yes.
And, my God, that was something else in April. Before Good Friday, he had a diving accident in Jamaica. And, my Lord, before the end of the year, he was walking. The
yes.
few months he was walking, his neck was totally healed, and
yes.
no pain medication. He went back to work January 2015, and that's the power of God. That
yes.
is the power. We give God all the glory. It's so many
yes.
miracles. I said, Lord, I want my reward in him. I really don't even chronically hear. But it's so many miracles. It's a regular thing to see miracles happening. And it's not a whole lot of us, I must say, because you know, one of the things I look at is that the Lord used 12 people to turn the world upside down, 12 apostles. He's just looking for men and women who are faithful and men and women who are not afraid to stand upon his word and to say, God, I trust you no matter what. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God, your word, and I'm believing it. And so, you know, that's what God is looking for. He said his eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth. Just looking for those who he can use. He said, I look for a man in Ezekiel. He said, I look for a man who is standing in the gap and build up the edge and pray so that I will not destroy the land. He said, but I found none. I don't want to be found wanting. And so we bless God. We've seen healings in England. There's a sister we were praying for. When I got the call and I called her at first, when I was talking to her, she was going like, I mean, it was, she just could not talk 2 words because her asthma was that bad. It was really bad, and asthma and back pain and all sort of issues were going on with her. It was about 3-4 things going on with her at the time. But to God be the glory, she's doing
Amen.
Very well right now. We have seen people who are
Amen.
Demonically oppressed doing well. And we give God thanks. God is very much alive. He's very much in the healing business. He's a delivering God. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is so sad that so many of in the church have not tapped into who God really is. I don't tap
yes.
into God for any power or any anointing. This is something that a lot of people have missed. Just like in the book of Acts when Paul would be doing miracles and people would come just to get the gift. That is what Simon, the sorcerer, he wanted the gift. You know, he wanted to bite.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I seek
yes.
God because I love God. I want more of him. And as I
yes.
seek him, I realize that he pours in me what he chooses to pour in me. And every day I'm discovering something new. And I'm still seeking God. I still want more. I one of the things I also want to share with the body of Christ is that for you to truly grow in God, you have to be hungry. And the first chapter of my book is called How to Cultivate in a Heart for
yes.
God. If you're not hungry, you will not grow. A lot of Christians are not hungry. They're more filled with the things of the world. And I'm not saying everybody, thank God for faithful saints. Thank God for those who are holding the fort, because God has his remnant. But I'm speaking to the entire body of Christ. And so he who have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And so I thank God that, you know, God wants us to be hungry for him. That was why he could use David. You know, David said, the deer panteth for the water brook, so panteth my soul after. And so we thank God that he is a God who hears and he answers. He says if we commit our ways to him, that he will give us the desires of our hearts. But what is our desire of our hearts? Is it God? Is he number one? Or is it everything else? And then we just push him in at the end of the day or whenever we can and say, okay, Lord, you understand. No, God doesn't understand. It's not right. It's not right. And then when we need help, we call upon him. And so when we do not put him first, when we are attacked and the children are attacked and marriage is attacked and everything is going haywire, then we go to God, okay, God, I've not spoken to you in a long time. Remember me? No. God wants us to have intimate relationship with him. He is seeking intimacy. And that's why David said also in Psalm 63:1, he says, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, like a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. God wants us to be hungry for him over things and over other people. Because I'm telling you, things and people are going to fail us. But the God that we serve will never disappoint us. God does not disappoint. And so we have to understand, we have to know who we place our trust in and know that we serve a God who is well able to do far more exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask for, the power that is in us. But we have to have, we need to have the word in us. We need to have that desire for God. It needs to supersede everything else in our lives. God, I'm hungry for you. When we're hungry for God, then we will see the miracles. Then we will see how God will take us from one level to the next. Then we will go from glory to glory to glory in him. Then we can talk about fighting warfare. Otherwise, we just go in the Lord. Just ask the Lord for hunger and thirst after him. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. That's good stuff, Reverend Sharon. Good stuff about prayer. And because it's all, when you really think about it, and the reason I had you to kind of share with us the power of the prayer and what happens through the power of prayer and how that's connected to with warfare and praying spiritual warfare prayers and being able to really tap into a realm in your prayer life, because a part of that is knowing how to tear down and how to, you know, pull up and how to, you know, to release and how to, you know, to bind things and prayer, because it starts in prayer, and to how it's connected, prayer is therapeutic. The other thing I want to ask you about is and when we're dealing with spiritual warfare, the discerning piece, because I know you talk about that in your book, and I find that to be such a critical part of fight when you're fighting and you're in the thick of dealing with the attack, and you're, because sometimes, and the other part I just want to throw this out there to those who are listening, and spiritual warfare is not always about you. Sometimes you in terms of battling, sometimes you're not just battling for yourself, especially those whom God has called, but those of us who may see other folks around us going through some oppression and being attacked, we then too need to know how to go in and press in and do spiritual warfare for others. But if you will, talk a little bit about that discerning piece, because I think it's so important that we're able to trace and discerning, because we can't, you have to trace the target and
yes,
know the source. Because you often talk about, you need to know the enemy, you see. You need to know what's going on. Where is this coming from? Trace the target. And so talk about that discerning piece. How does that work in spiritual warfare?
Discernment is very crucial. But I truly believe, and from my experience, I can tell you that discernment comes through the Word of God. By being in the Word, by being immersed in the Word of God, the Lord has a way of opening your spiritual eyes. I talk about the spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears. For you to do warfare, you need to be able to hear and to see in the spirit realm. God will show it to us. He says, my secret I reveal to my servants, and God will show you the enemy coming at you. But you have to be immersed in his word. You have to be in love with the Lord and be in love with his word. And yes, there are some people who get dreams, even though they do not know the Lord. They probably have a gift or whatever it was in your family, whatever it is. But I'm telling you something, there's nothing like being in the word of God, being totally committed to the Lord, and being able to see in the realm. Every time the enemy comes, it doesn't matter by what method or medium he uses, whether it comes by the air, the sea, the dust, wherever format, whether it's to your clothes or your food, whatever, however he decides to come, the Lord will show you. And it's important to know that, because then you know how to pray strategically. You need to know the root.
A lot of times
people are fighting wars, but they're missing their target because they do not know. They're not even sure where it's coming from. And
Right. They're
probably sitting and eating with the enemy. They're hugging the enemy, sleeping with the enemy, worshiping with the enemy, and do not have a clue that it is right there under their noses, because they're not at that level where they're discerning that person is. Because I'm telling you, there are some sweet-looking demons, and there's some people who are so sweet. Oh, my God. You see, I'm very outspoken, and I'm vocal. So people like me, people look at me twice. Unless you know this, when you know the spirit, you know that I'm coming to speak to our God. But yeah, some people who are very sweet. Like Miss Williams, the woman that I spoke about in my first book, she was so sweet. You meet her, you're like, oh, you know, she's so darling. I'm not saying everybody who's sweet is demonic, don't get me wrong. But I'm just telling you that they know how to fool the people of God. And so you have to have a discernment that goes beyond people's voice and mannerism and all of that. The Lord will just tell you. And I'll give you an example. I remember years ago, this was so many years ago, in that church that I went with Miss Williams, to show you how long ago. But I thank God for good. But I'm going to show you. This just came to me, so I'm going to share this piece. I was talking to a church sister, and she was an older woman for me. I looked up to her. Oh, my, when she testified, I'm like, Lord, I want to testify like her and all of that. And I remember I was asking her for this other sister in the church. And I know they were very close. And while I asked her for this sister, and while she was responding to me, Spirit of the Lord said to me, lies, 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 3 times. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, my respect to this woman so much. I can't believe she's just looking at me and lying. But while she was talking to me, the Holy Spirit is telling me lies, lies, lies. And this is, I'm telling you, the Lord will do this to you. So you know who people are. You know, and you're not judging. You're not judging. The Holy Spirit actually does the ministry. He talks to us. He shows us things that are coming in the spirit realm. Discernment, where it's coming from, where are the attacks coming from. You pray. You're like, Lord, why is little Johnny behaving this way all of a sudden? You need discernment. It might be the friend, it might not be, but you need discernment to know, Lord, how do I pray for this child? How do I pray so that this child will not shipwreck his or her life?
Yes.
Discernment is key. And I talk about that in chapter 10, where these folks were so up in arms with the neighbor, and the neighbor was the one who was really messing them up. I mean, even the child was just mentally off because of the attacks that were coming, but they didn't know it was the person until the Lord revealed it. I saw the man going in their house. I said, who is it? He's gray hair, the height, everything. I could describe the man to the T. I said, oh, my God, that's my neighbor. I said, be careful of him. He's a guilty party. They had no clue. And once they started praying, the Lord started revealing to them that, he was really the guilty person. And as a matter of fact, they didn't tell him to come in when he realized that they knew it was him. He just stopped coming over because he knew by then that they knew what he was doing. It was so bad, my sister, that you're talking about, the grass will not even grow in Florida. The grass will not grow. Her husband loves to plant trees, mango trees, pear trees, ackee trees. Nothing would grow on the tree, only cobwebs. And when the prayer started and the Lord just shared with me and I just shared with them, and I love them because they're trainable. Some people are trainable. And when you're desperate, you do what it takes to serve God and to seek the Lord. And they did that. And I'm telling you, they have the most beautiful grass right now as I'm speaking. They have fear. They have everything on their trees. It's the most beautiful plot right where they are in that surrounding. I'm telling you, that's the God that we serve. Discernment. Know your enemy.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to invite those of you who would like to speak with us tonight. If you have something that you want to share or ask a question, you can have your say by calling 646-929-06. Number one, if you want to talk with us tonight or have a question for Reverend Sharon. She's an expert. This is the one to ask the question to tonight, if you have one, about spiritual warfare and prayer. Even if you have a prayer request, tonight that you want to share with her and to have her to pray with you in agreement, feel free to call in and to give her your prayer request or to ask your question. Again, if you want to do so, call that number, but you have to hit 1 if you want to share with us tonight a question or comment or prayer request.
Oh,
amen. 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 Reverend Sharon, let me ask you this question. Did you have something else you wanted to say before?
You know what? This is just in my spirit, and I think I need to share it. I think the Lord wants me to share it. If you look at how brazen the enemy is, you'll understand he's not something to play with. I said something. Yes, I said something. Because if he was an archangel in heaven, okay? God equipped him with every musical instrument he ever needed in himself. He just had to move, and the entire realm would just move. The host of heaven would just worship. It was awesome, beautiful worship. And he had the audacity to come against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Holy One. And if he is not afraid to test God, no, you know he's going to come after us, right?
But yes.
What I look at is that you talk earlier about him being, he strategizes, okay? He knows how to strategize. And that's another thing. That's a whole different teaching right now. It's a realm that we need to learn and understand. Everything is well organized in the spirit realm. So here it is, he decided to usurp God's authority, and he wanted to ascend above the throne of the Most High. He wanted to be worshipped. And I look at it, and I'm like, God, he was able not only to try this, but he was able to recruit 1/3 point where God has to say, you all better go. Do you understand me? And so we just, I look at that, and I'm like, it is so sad when we underestimate him. And think we can just ignore him and we won't be touched. He doesn't care. He's no respecter of persons, okay? However, we need to know that we are victorious through Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we do not have to fear him. He died, he shed his blood, and the blood, that's another thing. In spiritual warfare, I encourage every single one of God's people to start calling upon the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is so powerful. It is so powerful, and the people in the dark world, they know this. That is why they kill pigeons, and they kill fowls, and they kill all these things, and even come at, and even try to kill human beings, because then that's how they gain power. But I'm telling you, we need to understand the significance of the blood and why God had to send his son to shed his blood for us. The blood of Jesus Christ is very powerful. It will never lose its stain, and the enemy is afraid of the blood. But we don't use it. We don't use it because we feel we don't have the authority or we don't believe. So we don't use the power, the blood of Jesus Christ against the attacks of the enemy. But we need to learn to use. That is also one of our very, very powerful weapons that we have. We have so many weapons that God has given us. But we don't use it because we say we don't need it because we're not into spiritual warfare. But spiritual warfare is all around us. It comes in various degrees.
Yes.
Some people get it. On a massive scale, and some people, it is so subtle that they live with it and love it and hug it. They don't even realize what's going on. Mighty God. I just wanted to say that about God. They're comfortable with it. They're comfortable. It doesn't bother their lifestyle. So they're comfortable with it. And say that it's fine because then you're ineffective for the kingdom. You're ineffective.
Wow.
You're ineffective at that point. And so he's fine with that because you're not really impacting any lives. You're not really doing anything, massive for the kingdom. So it's fine. You can just stay there, and he's fine with you hugging you and keeping you away from the purpose of God. No, you have to make up in your mind, God, I want all of you. God, I want all of you. All of you, God. Not half, not 99.999. I want everything that God has for me. And that is the heart that we need to have. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile his body, and he did not. As a young man in a Babylonian system, he decided to stand up for God and look at Daniel. So nothing has changed. Nothing has changed because it's 2015. We think we are changing the times and the seasons of God. No. God is still God. He's the same all-powerful and almighty God. And we need to stop watering down the God that we serve. God is so powerful that it is. We thank God for his remnants anyway. But I just pray that more people will understand who we are and you know who we are in his hands. He loves us so much. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. And Reverend Shimron, as we're coming down to the closing of the show, and we got a couple more minutes here. Just for those who are listening, who just for informational purposes and to further instruct and to empower those who are listening, what are some of the things? What are some of the manifestations or some of the indications in terms of spiritual warfare? I was thinking about, when individuals are in spiritual warfare, you did talk about the subtle aspect of it, and you talked about some who are really going through some of the big stuff, the humongous stuff, and that's real obvious. And, you know, some of the things that people are dealing with in spiritual warfare, I think about the loss of spiritual desire, not even knowing.
Yeah.
You talked about hugging it and being with it and only realize that that's spiritual warfare. So what does spiritual warfare looks like in the lives of some of the folk? I'm glad you brought up about the couple that had the neighbor that they were, when they were dealing with all of what was going on, even in their homes and even outside of the home with their lawn and the grass. So
yeah.
What are some of the things, how does that look? What are some of the other things you could share with the audience?
It takes various forms, and you did set it up right in the beginning when you say that some things are not really a spiritual attack so much as it is our flesh. And so
mm-hmm.
This is why it's so important to be discerning and to know what's going on in our lives. Sometimes people open doors like anger. Anger is very real. It's a spirit. Unforgiveness, bitterness, the malice, these are spirits. You think it's a person? No, there's a spirit behind the person, why they behave the way they do. Gossiping, backbiting, those are spirits. And so when we open these doors to the enemy has all rights to come in because you've given him an open invitation. You're saying, yeah, come on in. Basically, that's what you're saying. Because, you see, bitterness and hatred and all these spirits, they're not of God. The enemy can identify with them because that's who he is. That's just his nature. That's not the God that we serve. So it is important when we are going through and we are experiencing these spirits of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and all these negative emotions that we really take it to the altar. Because God is waiting to cleanse us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants us to have the abundant life. But if we open
Amen.
These doors and the enemy comes in like a flood because he's just looking whom he may devour, and he sees the opening. He's coming in. It doesn't matter if you're on the church, if on the church choir. It doesn't matter. He's coming in because the doors are open. So we have to really be careful that we're not walking around with these spirits, anger and bitterness and, unforgiveness, all these spirits lying. Whatever it is, we know who we are. Whatever it is we're wrestling with, it's fine. The Lord says, He says, come unto me. In Isaiah, it says, come and let us reason together. The Lord wants to reason. Just tell him your problem. Tell him what you're going through. Be real with God. He says, a broken and a contrite heart, I will not despise. And so the Lord wants us, He wants us to be whole. But we have a choice. He doesn't force His will on us. We have to make up our minds that, I don't want to walk half-heartedly with God. I don't want to walk in lukewarmness. And the Spirit of the Lord warned the church of Laodicea about it. He says, I wish you were hot or you were cold, but you're lukewarm. He says, I spew you out. It's insipid. It's an insipid taste in the mouth of God. When we're coming and we're really serving God, but we are not serving Him. We are not there. And granted, everybody's at a different place spiritually. Nobody has arrived. I have not attained. I'm seeking God every day. I'm so hungry for God, it's not even funny. I am hungry. I don't want to ever feel like I have attained. I am so thankful to God for where He has brought me, but I'm still hungry for God. And so we are all growing and becoming in the Lord. And God is patient. He loves us. He loves us, but the enemy fools some of us into believing that God doesn't love us based on what we have done or where we are coming from or our background. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Satan is a liar, okay? He's the father of lies, and so he knows how to play mind games. That's another thing. The mind is a battlefield. It's so many different aspects of spiritual warfare, and that is why the important thing is to start in the Word. Be in the Word, because as you read the Word, the baggages and all of these things that you're carrying, The word of God is like a two-edged sword. It will cut it, and it will remove the things that need to be removed, all that weight that you're carrying. Oh, my God, he will take it away
Amen.
From us. And so we need to go to the altar of God with the word of God and let him transform us. Just renew our minds and transform us. Take away the things that are hindering us and the things that are that make us targets for the in the dark world. But
Amen.
God is waiting.
Amen.
He's waiting. He's waiting on us, you know, to make the move. We have to make the move to want him.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And as we close, I want to just list a couple of things and thank Reverend Sharon Clark for her powerful dialogue with us tonight and sharing on the broadcast. Such powerful, powerful tools that were given to us. And so as we come to our close, I want to say this to the listening audience tonight. This is when you know you are in spiritual warfare, if there is temptation. Not testing, but temptation. If there is accusation being thrown. Deception. This is the scale that you look at. Yeah, I give you a scale to look at every week that we're on. Look at your scale where you can gauge. If there is a pattern of reoccurring negative events, severe discouragement, crippling condemnation, extreme confusion, physical fatigue that is so exhausting that it's not even natural, a weak prayer life and feeling overwhelmed and helpless and pulling away from your God relationship and godly relationships. If those things are going on, you are indeed dealing with spiritual warfare and you're being attacked. And Reverend Sharon has given us the tools to fight and to get through those type of attacks. Amen. So as we close, let's offer. Reverend Sharon, I'm going to have you to offer up a word of prayer. We have at least another minute to go.
Okay.
And just offer
Praise
up
God.
Tonight a prayer of powerful prayer, a spiritual warfare prayer as we end this radio show tonight. Thank you, listening audience, for tuning in. And once Reverend Sharon finishes her prayer, then we're going to have the advertisement of the other shows. Amen. Reverend Sharon, God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Praise God. And I thank you, sis. Thank you so much for having me tonight. God bless you and keep you and your ministry. I appreciate you. God bless you. Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you for your blessings, Lord God. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you, Lord God, for the teachings tonight, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're in our midst. And Father God, we just pray tonight that, oh God, somebody gleaned something from this, Lord God. Somebody was enlightened. Somebody was encouraged. And we thank you, Lord God, tonight, oh God, that we know who we are in you, Lord God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. You did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And so we thank you, Lord God, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. The greater one lives on the inside of us. And so we bind any form of principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places that have been fashioned against your people tonight. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every life. Every single person that's listening tonight, Lord God, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them from the corner of their head, that wash them, oh God, tonight. Every organ, every tissue, every muscle in their bodies, my God, their homes, oh God, we cover them in the blood. Lord God, we cover, Lord God, their possessions, everything that you've blessed them with, God. We soak it in the precious blood of the Lamb tonight. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for our hearts. Let your people be hungry for you, Lord God. We bind every blockage, every plan of the enemy to block them, my God, from wanting you, from desiring you, from craving you. We bind those forces tonight and we pray for a release in the heart of your people, oh God, to desire you, to crave you, Lord God, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We bless you, Lord God, tonight. We magnify your holy name and we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise tonight and we say thank you. Thank you for deliverance from evil. Thank you for deliverance from the evil one. And we bless you. In Jesus' name, we give you praise tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen and hallelujah. Thank
hallelujah.
You all for listening in. And
wishing you a empowered God week and a great God evening. Take what you've heard, share it with others so that they too might be empowered. Until we meet again, be sure to tune in for next Monday show with Dr. Rosemary Cook, who will have a powerful radio broadcast on next week and the week after that. And I shall be back to join you all probably in another 2 weeks. God bless. Peace and blessings be unto you until we meet again. Have a great God evening.
Yes.
Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world-famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old-school favorites in R&B, hip-hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, in the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.